I approach him and he looks at me like, who the fuck is this chick?
And you said, nails out, bitch, I'm famous.
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast
where two unqualified friends,
two unhinged comedians,
determine once and for all what is good
and what is bad. Hello and welcome to Bad Behavior. I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. In each episode of the podcast, a guest shares a morally questionable story from their life, and we decide if they are in the right or the wrong.
We sure do. And Blair, we have such a treat today because we have a dear, dear friend on the podcast today.
I know. And that's so exciting. I love to pass judgment on a friend.
I know. Right? Well, I want to get your take on marathon culture because I actually woke up at 7:30 a.m. on this past Sunday to go cheer on some friends running the marathon.
Well, I joined a run club because I was like, this will force me to be more active. Mm-hmm. And so I joined the club and there was a lot of really hot guys in this club.
Of course, that's why you go.
And so then I found myself not wanting to look like weak or like a bad runner. So I found myself overexerting. And which is actually very worse. So I was constantly miserable, but trying to play cool around straight hot guys.
Wait, when was this?
Oh, this was back when I lived in Roanoke.
Oh, okay, not here.
This is when I was like, maybe one of them will get confused one day, have a beer, and just be like,
well, they'll be like looking for water, and you're like, oh.
I just happen to have some pooling in my mouth right now. I could pour it in.
Anyways, so I've done this. I actually had therapy today, and I said this. I have got to find some more hobbies. This is my new thing for 2024, hobbies.
Okay.
What should I be doing? Because I realized all the hobbies I used to do are now my full-time job. So now that I have that as my job, what do I do with my hobbies?
Oh, I got it. Let's flip it on its ear. And now you can do secretarial work as a hobby.
I was never a secretary.
I couldn't think of your job title.
Oh, my God. Senior manager of programming?
Okay, then be a senior manager of programming as a hobby.
I'll go in my off time, I'll go head network television. That's an easy hobby to do. Oh, and before I forget, if you guys are in Los Angeles or wanting to come to Los Angeles on April 4th, I have a comedy show that I co-host called Phones Down. We have some amazing people on the lineup. We have Jared Goldstein. We have Rachel Pegram and Jill Young. It's a show where we have comedians reveal the most humiliating things in their phone, and we decide who is the most humiliating person in Los Angeles. Myself included, I will be revealing something. Last month, I revealed one of the most humiliating DMs I've ever sent. So, come on out. It's April 4th at Lyric Hyperion at 7:30 p.m. and tickets are in my bio.
You can't just say that you revealed something embarrassing and then not just tell us. What was the embarrassing DM?
I DM'd this TikToker who's so famous, Delaney Rowe, when I first moved to LA to try to collaborate with her. It's like, God. So sad. I signed my full name at the bottom of the DM.
Your full name?
My full name.
Did you put your social security number too?
I was like, because I was like, maybe she wants to stalk me and my full name's not in my username on my Instagram.
Did she ever respond?
No. And I unsent it like a year later. Stuff in your phone is really scary, especially in WhatsApp. So might be digging in there. We'll see.
That's all right. You know who's got a lot going on right now? Sass.
That is so true. Sarah Ellis has so much going on right now. She is an actor in New York City, and you can catch her in her one-woman show, Something to Believe In, at the Tank this summer, as well as taking it to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival in August. Please welcome Sarah Ellis Scholl. Oh my goodness, you guys.
OMFG.
One of the bells of New York City.
It's so funny to be called the Belle of New York City because I like Blair, am from the South. So, you know, I really associate it with like a Southern Belle, but
I'm glad I could be New York City's very own Belle.
Have you ever been referred to as a Southern Belle?
No, I really don't give off that vibe whatsoever. I mean, I could be like, my stars, your beautiful demeanor has caused me to faint. Ooh, that's what like I think of as a Southern Belle. Whereas like my mother is like, that man is useless as his titties on a warthog. You all ever heard that phrase? Titties on a warthog?
No.
You don't know that one?
What does that mean?
Well, because like a warthog is a man.
Well, have you ever heard this one? They're just going around acting like a fart in a skillet. Have you heard that one?
I haven't heard that one, but
like a fart in a skillet? Yeah. What does that mean?
I never quite understood, but it always made sense when my grandmother said it. It was kind of like they're just going around being like chaotic, I guess.
Because they're not even being like food.
Yeah, they're not being edible.
They're not even being edible. It's just a fart in a skillet. What a nightmare. Would you rather be this, a fart in a skillet or a turd in the punch bowl?
I'd rather be a fart in a skillet.
I want to be a turd in a punch bowl. I want to be seen. Uh-uh. I want to be recognized for all my glory.
I kind of like the ephemeral nature of fart in a skillet.
Wow. Well, so much to debrief. So we met on, I would say this, my third day in New York City. As well as like, what week was that for you, Sarah Alice?
Probably like week two. Yeah, so fresh, doe-eyed, terrified.
We were so fresh, 2016. And I would say like you were my very first friend in New York City, basically, which is amazing.
How did the two newbies gravitate? Was it just so obvious that you were lost in the city? Like, where am I?
We were both like twirling around Times Square like, hello, help.
I think I made the move. Would you say?
I would say yeah. Well, okay, this is what it was, if I may paint a picture. Okay, if you can imagine, it's UCB, NYC, baby. If you can
Upright Citizens Brigade Improv.
New York City.
This is real. New York City, October 2016. This is really inside baseball here. And it is right before, you know, November. October is right before November.
Yeah, big Thanksgiving that year.
Big Thanksgiving that year for a lot of us. Also, this was when UCB was in this building called, like, it's also known as Ripley Greer. Like, if you're an actor, like, UCB is on the third floor. Ripley Greer is on, like, the 15th, 16th, 17th floor. So it is already a cursed building. And I am an actor, so I can say that. It's a cursed building. You go there to audition. You go there to, like, be put down by people, by people in the biz.
Like a dog. They're like, your career's dead. We're actually killing you.
You're done. But the UCB classrooms are on the third floor. We're on the third floor of that building. So I waltz in there, day number, like, 11 of being in New York. Waltz in there, sit down next to this girl who starts talking to me.
What was her opening line?
I think something surprising is like I get very nervous. Like I'm a little shy. And I remember but if you put me in a situation where I have no friends, like it's like sink or swim. I'm like, I gotta do it. And so I think I probably said something like,
be my friend.
Oh, is this the first time you've done an improv class? So I'm sure it's like, oh, have you done this before? I'm like, here's the thing. Sarah Alice has like one of like the kindest, I would say, smiles, faces. And just like, I was like, when I'll go into a situation like that, I'm like, who's looking friendly? I don't think I look very friendly, but I can perceive other people to be friendly.
And it's funny, Sarah Alice, because I did sketch with Sterling for many years, but I swear to God, for the first 2 years, I thought Sterling hated me.
But that, well, because there is a slice of truth with that.
Oh,
we weren't fast friends. I definitely didn't hate you. I definitely
didn't.
It
felt like you did. Maybe not hate is a strong word. It felt like you were annoyed by me.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Well, now do you guys remember when you two met?
I feel like I knew about Blair before I actually met Blair.
Yeah, because Sterling used to complain about me to you, right?
So Sterling's like, there's this annoying person in my class. I don't want them to know.
I feel like we all together have experienced a lot of bad behavior in New York City in just the last kind of, I don't know, 8 years of our lives. And I want to see, since I left, unfortunately, I'm not there famously, what has kind of been going on in your life that you can do a little catch up with me and in New York City that I should be knowing about that might be exhibiting some bad behavior right now?
Yeah, what's a hot goss? Even though I'm here and do nothing.
I mean, it feels kind of crazy right now. It feels like if I were to sum up my life and New York City, everything is far too expensive for no reason. Why
preach,
is everything so expensive? And people are going to be listening to this and they're going to be like, hello, inflation. And I'm going to be like, look, inflation only goes so far. Some of this, not to get too like soapboxy here, is people like, is corporations just price gouging? You cannot tell me that the price of a sandwich has truly gone up like $10. I was in an area today where I used to work. I used to work at a clothing store.
Okay.
In kind of
which one?
I don't know if I can say. I used to work at I am involved in a class action lawsuit against them. So
why?
Wait, why? What's going on?
So basically during the time period that I worked at, there was a lot of bad behavior happening.
Okay.
A lot of discrimination based on race, sex, all of that stuff that you're not supposed to discriminate based on.
Sure, of course.
Mismanagement, doing a bad job at managing. People didn't get paid. People got hurt. Retail is already tough. It's already very tough. Like, shout out to the retail soldiers. Thank you for your service. But doing retail in a heavily populated city, in a heavily populated tourist area, it's tough. Those nails are tough. I mean, like, you're dealing with every personality possible. And on top of that, at my job, I was being discriminated against.
Wait, so do you guys think you're going to win? What kind of money are we looking at for a class action?
Well, it's not just my location. It's like several locations listed in the lawsuit. So I'm going to get like $7 at the end of the day, probably.
Oh, only seven?
Only seven.
If you do win the settlement and get the $7, are you going to use that towards maybe moving out of the city? Is this the time where you're like, I've had enough with the old lady?
Right. Well, the good news is that is possible because this is actually the second class action lawsuit I'm currently involved in.
All right. Someone's having a big year.
Wait. What's the first? I'm actually scared you're going to do class action against us at this point.
I want
to. Did you come here to serve us?
Here's like the papers, like I'm serving you papers. I want to make it clear that neither of these things were something I like pursued. Like I was reached out to by lawyers who are doing the class action because a class action famously is stronger with more numbers. So they want as many people on board as possible. This is not like me like, who can I class action next? Like, this is just me ending up in situations.
If we bleep it, can you tell us who the first class action's against?
Yes. So it's against freaking. There was a time period during this ongoing pandemic during the past 4 years. There was a time period where they were charging people for COVID tests and they were not explaining to them that you would be charged for this COVID test.
Well, so how much do you think you'll get from this one? Like about 10, 12?
They said minimum is $5.
Like what?
Just very briefly, the thing about both of these class action lawsuits is number one, I don't actually have to do anything. Like I'm just lumped in, but I don't have to show up anywhere. I don't have to exert time, effort, money. So that's why I'm like, yep, sign me up. Second of all, this one especially affects like thousands of people. So even if they win like millions of dollars distributed among the thousands, it won't be very much. The one, who knows what will happen? The other thing about class action lawsuits is, of course, they take forever. So when the planet is dead and so am I, I'll finally get my $12.
And we can't wait for that day.
Yeah, we can't wait for you to die and get your money. That's what we're saying.
No.
Thank you.
Okay, so you were talking about, I feel like you have had some of the most interesting acting jobs that a girl can have. And one of my favorites, in which I would love you to kind of share about, can you tell us about your hit role as a woman with an in-ground pool?
No. So I did a commercial 2 years ago at this point for an upstate New York, like outdoor, like transform your backyard company. And one of their services that they offer is an in-ground pool installed in less than 15 minutes. And so I, of course, I'm like, whatever, sounds good. But the more you think about it, the more you're like, how are you installing a pool, yeah, an in-ground pool, not in-ground, an inflatable, whatever, in 15 minutes or less. And what I came to find out was the digging of the hole is not included in that 15-minute process.
You have to bring your own hole.
So the hole has to be dug, or like maybe they'll dig it for you, but it appears like that part takes months. And then they like drop, and then they like drop a pool, drop like, you know, whatever into the hole in less than 15 minutes.
So. Do they at least give you the dimensions at which you got to be digging, or?
They must, right? They must.
Right. Or is it just like, no, we'll figure it out. Just get that hole started and we'll widen it like a gauge.
Right. Maybe that's, oh, it's like an earring situation where they're like, every month we kind of expand it for you. So,
well, I haven't seen this commercial. So what was your, did you have any lines in it?
Yes. So it was definitely like a regional gig. You can only see it probably in upstate New York, probably in that county even. And I had to play kind of a disgruntled wife whose husband bored me. He never had any fun ideas of like things to do. So then my brilliant idea is like, you know what? How about a pool? And he was like, do we have time for that? And I'm like, we got 15 minutes.
Yeah, here's your shovel, yeah. Bitch.
Do you think the key to happy, like, do you think if you get married to someone that's like really boring, like a pool will fix that?
Yeah. Like, I kind of think, like, if you find yourself, you know, like the 7 year, like all 7 year itches can be cured with a pool for sure. In ground pool.
So you have a one-woman show that you're actually taking to the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Ooh. Thank you.
So exciting. Called Something to Believe In. Please, everyone, check it out. If you live in Scotland this summer, go, go, go. Fly.
Are you doing it the whole month or like a week? What's the run?
Our run is pretty much the whole time. It's August 2nd through August 24th.
Oh, shit.
That is going to be so fun. I'm so jealous.
Can I give you a little tip, though? Do you like coffee?
Yes, I love coffee.
Okay, when you go there and order coffee, all they give you is an Americano. You can't get drip coffee.
Right. I had this situation in London as well. Like, people are obsessed with espresso in the UK. And I'm like, can we get a pot of a big cup of coffee?
Anyway, so your show takes place senior year of high school. And so for today, I wanted to dive into different high school scenarios and behaviors from high school. And for you to tell us if this is heaven, hell, or if you're kind of indifferent, purgatory.
Oh my gosh.
Which goes along with your show so well. Really religious aspect. All right, Blair, do you want to kick us off with number one?
I would love to. Sarah Alice, here is your first heaven or hell option. Trying to steal your crush's hat at a party.
Oh boy. That is a hell for sure that I put myself in multiple times. That is something I did, like stealing a boy's baseball cap.
At my school, we had a lot of snapbacks.
Yeah. No, I did steal someone's snapback and I still have it. Like, it's still in my like parents' house.
Wait, are you still hoping for this person to call you?
No, a lot of this is so irrelevant because in high school, as is revealed in the show, I really thought I was very straight, but in fact, I'm quite the opposite. So I didn't really want any of these boys' hats. I just wanted to impress people in the public eye. Like, you know, I wasn't. So.
Okay. Number two, wearing a school uniform every day.
Okay. So this is really, like, to me, it was purgatory. Like, it certainly wasn't heaven, but like, I loved that I didn't have to think about what I was wearing in the morning. I really was one of those basic people that was like, well, thank God I don't have to pick out an outfit. And like, I loved, like, I do love fashion, even though that's a lie at this point. I don't know what I put on my body every day, a potato sack.
Well, that was a real journey. I love fashion. What am I talking about? I don't know what I put on my body.
At this point, I'm really in between. I'm really figuring out what works for me. But in high school, I was like, oh, I can save up all my good looks for the weekend. Like, I don't have to blow any good looks, any good fits here at school. I can save them all up for the weekend for the fun, all the fun activities I'm doing. But it was so great to just like wear a uniform.
How many uniforms did you get? Was it just one you had and you had to wash it every day?
Oh God, no. That would smell so bad. So yeah. Our uniforms were made of like polyester. Everything was polyester. So it was literally plastic. You could have lit us on fire and we would have like gone up in flames. And so polyester also like traps odor, you know? So I had like a white button-up polo shirt for every day of the week. Like I had five, maybe six. And then I had like a navy blue skirt. And I probably had like three or four skirts and then Sophie shorts. We wore Sophie shorts under our skirts because we couldn't just be like walking around, you know, free balling it down there.
You had to wear Sophie shorts under your skirts? I miss a Sophie short. Do you remember that era?
Oh, yes. Oh,
there was like nothing hotter than wearing a Sophie short
rolling up. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, Blair, do you want to do our next one?
Getting an extravagant promposal.
Okay, so let me tell you what. This is definitely hell. And because I went to an all-girls school, I had to do the promposal, which is why it's hell.
So what was your most extravagant promposal?
I was literally delivered to this boy's house. I was in a box, like a big box on his front porch, and jumped out of it and was like, will you go to prom with me?
Please tell me he said yes.
He said yes.
Okay, good.
There was like a, hey.
Wait, why did you have to, did he go to an all boys school? Like, why couldn't he do it?
Yeah, so he went to, so because I went to an all girls school, we had our own prom that we had to invite people to. Also, famously, our prom.
Oh, yes. I see. It wasn't his prom. Right.
No. So for the boys' prom, they obviously would do the asking. And I don't think I actually was invited to any of the all boys schools' proms. I was invited to like homecoming and other dances. But never prom.
When did promposals become a thing? Because this was not a thing in my high school.
I feel like it really is mid-aughts, like, teens culture. I feel like it's very much from, like, 2000, like once YouTube became big and people kind of saw, like, big ways to do...
Yeah, people putting online.
Yeah, like, marriage proposals or any type of whatever. You were so doing it for, like, a video so someone could film you and put it online.
You know, it's so funny. I literally was always thinking about, like, that would be my dream for a boy to pop out of a box.
I mean...
Dream bigger.
Okay.
Moving on. Okay. Let's shake the dust there.
Okay. Texting your crush by accident to start a conversation. You ever do this?
I mean, again, this is probably purgatory because that feels like such a thing that it's just a cycle. It's just a trap at the end of the day. Like, you know, it's like, just text the person. Just text them, which is so hard to tell, like a 15, 16, 17-year-old. Like, texting is so low stakes, but it feels so high stakes.
It was so high, especially if you only have like 150 texts a month.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't have unlimited. So I was like really thinking about my texts.
When I was older, like when I was in college, I definitely would get probably too drunk and then be texting people that I should not have been texting. And I didn't have to lie and be like, I'm drunk. I just was.
Wow. Yeah. That's good. I would sometimes get a text prepared that I'd want to send and then I would hand it to my friends and they'd fuck it up a bit. So it would look like I was drunk. So then I could easily be like, oh,
what
I'm sorry.
A ruse.
Obviously drunk.
Hey, you know what? That's cool.
And that's called being so cool. Okay.
So cool.
Next one.
Having a dress up for Wacky Wednesday during Spirit Week.
I'm going to say Wacky Wednesday was probably heaven because there were other Spirit Day themes that were really specific.
I was
specific.
Trying to remember the other ones. Like, what were the other really bad ones? I can't remember.
Well, we had, like, Decades Day, and we also had, like, just straight up Spirit Day. Like, every, like, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior had a different color assigned to them. So, like, for our Spirit Day, we would dress up it all in that color. We also, you know, like, Crazy Hair Day.
Oh, I remember Crazy Hair Day.
But see, that was rough for me because we did Crazy Hair Day in, like, grade school. Like, I went to a K-8 school, and I was, like, the only, like, a very small, again, very small Catholic school. I was the only person in my grade level with curly hair. Mm-hmm. And people would make comments like, well, you don't need to do anything crazy for your for Crazy Hair Day. You already have curly hair. How wild is that?
That's so rude.
It's so rude.
They are dying right now because curly hair is kind of the biggest thing that people want.
And it's the moment.
You know what's a fun thing about your hair?
Yes.
Sarah Alice was actually, not to blow up your spot for the millionth time, Sarah Alice was on the hit TV show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And
wait, were you really?
They gave her bangs for just being like in the background. She's like, I got bangs just to be on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And you still have bangs to this day. Gorgeous.
No, Sterling, it was worse than that. It was worse. I chose...
What?
They cut it short because back in the day, if you wanted to do The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, you had to have shoulder-length hair. And my hair was like where it is now, which is like right below the shoulders. And when you have curls, obviously you can stretch it out. It's much longer. Look at that. I know. They were like, this is too long. We're just going to chop it off. And as you know, curly hair can be a very precious, delicate thing. You can't just let anyone cut your hair. So the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel production team, which they're great. Like they were, it was actually a wonderful experience. It's the best background acting experience I'd ever had. They were wonderful, but they just chopped off my hair. I let them do it. I gave them permission. And then they brushed it out and put it up in like a bouffant. Like it didn't matter the length.
Oh my God.
And it didn't matter. It did not matter the length of my hair whatsoever. In fact, it probably would have been easier to put it up in like an updo if it was longer.
Did you at least get paid a little extra for having your hair cut off?
Yes. So again, it was the best background acting experience I've ever had. We got paid for the fitting. We got paid for the haircut. We got paid for the easiest day on set I've ever had. We just sat in this gay bar in the West Village that had been outfitted to look like a comedy club, and I just stared at all the penis drawings on the wall and smoked a fake cigarette, smoked an herbal cigarette for like 10 hours, and it was great. And I had the best time.
That's great. When I did And Just Like That, I was out in the cold forever. I didn't see one freaking celebrity, and then I got COVID real bad.
Okay, we have just a few more, but maybe let's do rapid round for these last few. Okay, sending your hot teacher an anonymous candygram.
We did candygrams. I would never have sent one to a teacher. I was never going to do that.
Accidentally throwing away your retainer at lunch.
Ooh, hell. Of course that's hell. Like, you're digging it out of the lunch droppings.
Trash. Oh. Did you ever do that?
No, because by the time I made it to high school, I only had to wear my retainer at night. So I very famously had braces very early in my life.
Getting your period during class and not having a pad and having to tie your sweatshirt around your waist for the rest of the day.
See, I would never have been there. That's heaven for me, because one of the best parts about going to an all-girls school, you could just be like, hey, does someone have a tampon?
That's true.
A sanitary napkin? And everyone would be like, here. Of course. Like, everyone was ready to go.
Proudly walking down the hall. You know,
like we were tossing them out like candy. Like it was not taboo. That was like the best part. Like you didn't have to be like, like everyone was cool with it.
All right. And the grand finale, dying to be cast as the lead in the school play and just getting ensemble.
Oh, I mean, for a high schooler, that is hell. That feels rough.
Did that happen to you?
Here's the thing about me. My career is very, she's old woman or man. All I ever got to play. So,
oh my God, that is literally me too, Sass. That is me too.
Truly, if I could have been in the ensemble as a pretty person, as a young lass in a dress, I would have killed to be in the ensemble. I don't want to play the wizard in the Wizard of Oz anymore. I don't want to be like, and this is the kicker. And I do talk about this in my show. We did Cinderella my senior year. Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella. I got cast as the fairy godmother. And I said, this is my moment. I get to wear a beautiful sparkly dress. I get to kind of have a Whitney Houston moment where this woman, this character can be fabulous. You know, she doesn't have to be like a dowdy old woman. The director approaches me and says, you will be wearing old age makeup. It's important to me that you look older than Cinderella. And also, it is important to me that you blend in with the townspeople. There will be no transformation. I literally wore peasant clothes and old age makeup as the fairy godmother.
That is so classic, dude. That is so classic. What theater did to us as kids is like
messed up.
Wow. I was in Romeo and Juliet. I played someone named Mandy. That's not a character. They would Mandy? Always make them. They would like, they split the mom role in Romeo and Juliet into three different women.
Have a character. Tiffany. You're going to be Tiffany.
It was humiliating because I went to college and I had my resume and they'd be like, oh, I don't know that character in this play.
I'm
like, I know, it's not real. They just gave it to me.
When I was in the fifth grade, I was in Snow White, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and I got to play the evil queen, but I didn't get to play the pretty evil queen. I only got to play the hag. So like for the transformation, the girl playing the beautiful evil queen like whipped herself off stage, and then there I was like, I'm a hag. It's like a fifth grader.
You've actually done our live show twice and brought in many questionable stories for us today. But Sarah Alice, you've never done our podcast. So whenever you're ready, please tell us what morally questionable story you brought in for us today.
If you can bring yourselves back to 2019, a bygone era, at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5 years ago. I am really good friends with this guy named Ryan. Shout out to Ryan. He's a gay man. Shout out to gay men. Ryan was working for the Tony Awards that year. He was a Tony Award PA, like a production assistant, as we know the famous term. And he, of course, was the person who stood off stage and received people after they had won their award and like took them to where they needed to go. And he got a date to the Tony Awards. I'm the date. He asked me to go to the Tony Awards with him. And I said, yes, I got to go for free. And like some people pay hundreds of dollars to go to the Tony Awards. I did not have to do that. So I was like, Ryan, thank you so much. This is so generous. When is it? It's on a Sunday night. Very famously, a lot of award shows are on Sunday night. In June, I am working at a preschool. Sterling knows exactly what I'm talking about. I work at this preschool, which is hell. Like, it is the most hell I've ever been in. They do birthday parties on the weekends. And these birthday parties would go from 10:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m.
That's so long.
I know, it's so long. And so I had to do this Sunday full of birthday parties, but it's the Tony Awards, right? So, like, I drag my, like, black tie outfit to this preschool. I, like, have my hair and makeup already ready to go, but I say, I need to go get my nails done. And I'm in a part of town. This preschool is in a part of town, not where I live. I'm like, I don't know where to go. So I just look up this place and I go. I enter the nail salon and it is decked out in, like, there are chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. It's that kind of vibe. It's huge. It's Sunday at like 4:30. I have T-minus like 2 hours until I need to be at the Tony Awards. I'm like, hey, I need my nails and toenails done. Stat. The woman's like, no problem. I got you. I was like, I'm so sorry. I've never been in a situation where I have to get this done quickly. She's like, well, where are you going tonight? I was like, I'm going to the Tony Awards. She immediately assumes I am in like a Tony nominated show. That is this woman's immediate assumption. She's like, oh, like she doesn't quite say it, but her eyes light up in that way of like, if you see somebody on the street that is maybe famous, your eyes light up.
You're famous. Yeah.
And I am the furthest thing from that, still the furthest thing from that. Like people listening to the pod will be like, who is this woman?
No, but people are going to be stopping on the street soon.
I'm like, oh no. But the hole just, it gets dug. I can't get myself out of it. I'm like, well, actually. And then she's like, so what's the show? Like, she's like asking me all these things about the show. And I'm like, do you mean the Tony Awards or the show that I'm supposedly in? She calls other people over. She gets other women to work on, like to help do my nails. They're like, we'll get you out of here and we'll make sure they look so good. Like, please tag us on Instagram. Like, they have become my glam team. They're like the glam squad and I'm like Sydney Sweeney before the Oscar. Like, literally, I was like, I've never been treated so well. You know, I can hardly tell someone at the nail salon, you know, the classic, like, if my nails look bad, I would be like, thank you so much. This is incredible. Here's a $100 tip. Like, that is who I am.
Yeah.
I there's no way. I am frozen with fear. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to the Tonys. I am a famous actor. My mouth is dry, like, thinking about it. I'm like, And they're like, we'll be looking out for you. We're going to turn on our TV. And they, like, all, and so they get me done up. They're finished. And they're like, so excited for you. Congrats on your big night. And I just said, thank you so much. I'll tag you on Instagram. And I leave the nail salon. I run back to the preschool, throw on this black tie dress, like run. I run in heels from the east side where this preschool is to Radio City where the Tony Awards are. Again, inside baseball about New York City. That's too far to run. I'm like sweating. And I sat in like the cheap seats sweating. That was my big night. But I totally lied to these women.
Oof. Wow. Oof.
Sass. I never thought you'd be bringing a story like this today, Sass.
Wow. You are putting us in a predicament.
Do you feel like if you hadn't gone along with this lie, these women would not have gotten you out the door in time?
Again, people who work in a nail salon are also like the retail soldiers of the world. Like, they are out there dealing with personalities. And they're out there, I'm sure the days are long and it's not always easy. And if you see somebody who you think is special, I don't know, maybe you give them special treatment and maybe you're like, yeah, I'll do my best here.
So you think if you hadn't kind of gone along with the lie, they might have been too slow and not gotten you to the Tonys on time.
Exactly. I think that very much could be the case.
How long does a typical nail appointment last if you're doing tops and bottoms?
If your top, aka the hands, if you're topping and it's and it's just a coat of paint, like that could be as short as 20 minutes. Skilled technicians can get that done in 20 minutes for
with
sure.
With drying? That's short.
Well, that's true. Like 30 minutes, 30 minutes. Okay. But if you want gel, like gel is going to take longer. You have to set it with the UV light. If you want acrylics, that can take like an hour to do.
Well, what was our Broadway legend going for that night?
In 2019, I was definitely going for gel.
Okay. Now bottoming, how long did that take?
So the bottoming, you know, there's a lot of prepping. As with bottoming, you have to soak your feet. You have to maybe get a little like salt scrub in there. They have to, if you're like me, this is really a confession here, they got to get the calluses off the bottom. They bring out the cheese grater, you know, all of that.
Always tickles.
And I'm very ticklish. So yeah, that could also take 45 minutes. I don't know. I mean, and I was asking for a lot. This is a tall order. I knew what I was doing was a big ask. Like, get me in and out, top and bottom, in like an hour.
Now, did you end up rubbing any elbows with anyone at the Tony Awards, any industry that night?
Right. So the cool thing about the Tony Awards is if you're just a guest, you like sit up in the cheap seats. You don't sit down there with anybody, you know. However, if you have the special invitation that I did, you also get to go to the official Tony Award after party, which is, I don't know if it still is, but for a while it was always at the Plaza Hotel. And in the basement of the Plaza Hotel, they have like a food court that they open up for free, of course. And they have every
type. Is there Sbarro's in the Plaza Hotel?
No, there's nice. A Sbarro's.
No, it's like a fancy.
I mean,
like
I hear food court, and that's immediately, I go mall.
You haven't been to the food court at the Plaza Hotel, Blair?
Does it look like I've been to the food court at the Plaza Hotel?
Yeah, but on Tony night, it's open, and everyone is just milling about and like picking up food. Like, you know, you don't have to order. There's like hors d'oeuvres set out. Anyway, so I saw everybody and their mom there. The person I saw and wanted to talk to was Catherine O'Hara. It was Beetlejuice year, and she was there, and she was dressed like in this beautiful black and white number.
I know the dress you're talking about.
Yeah, and she looked great. She looked incredible. And she was leaving, and I was like, oh, this is my time. But then someone else like swooped in and started talking to her, and I said, I can't be the second person to stop you going out the door. That cannot be.
You sure as shit can.
I felt so nervous. I felt so nervous, and so I didn't. Yeah. It's not really my style.
Did you talk to anybody? Did you talk to any celebs or even people that could help you in your career?
So there is a very famous, legendary Broadway performer, Andre DeShields. And he is an older gentleman. He was in Hadestown as like the narrator figure. He's incredible. Incredible actor, legendary. He gave that very famous Tony speech that year where he was like, the people you hang out with should make you feel good about yourself. They should like light up when you walk in a room. Anyway, I don't approach celebrities ever. On The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I was sat directly next to Rachel Brosnahan, and I literally just like covered my face, shielded myself, didn't look at her the whole time.
Buffon out. Yeah.
Buffon out, Buffon to her. So for whatever reason, though, I was like, I have to talk to somebody. It's the Tony Awards, of course.
It's the Tonys.
So I choose Mr. DeShields, who is a truly like regarded figure in the theater industry and is an older gentleman. I approach him and he looks at me like, who the fuck is this chick?
And you said, nails out, bitch, I'm famous.
I said, these were done in less than an hour. And you said, good for you. And then I went on my way. No, he literally
said, who the hell are you? He said, who the hell are you? He grabbed you by the scruff of your dress, lifted you up in the Plaza Hotel.
Swung you around. Said, get out.
Trunchbull style. And said, who the hell are you?
No, he didn't say that. I don't want to disparage this man and lie. He didn't say that. He was extremely polite. He just looked at me like, and I was like, Mr. DeShields, I just want to say you were inspiring to watch in Hadestown, and I just want to thank you so much for your performance. And he just looked at me, took my hands in his very gently, very kindly, and I was like, here it is, here's like the big moment that I'll talk about forever, when he like dispels his wisdom on me, and I'm going to be able to talk about this on the talk show couch in a couple of years. He just looks me in the eye and he goes, thank you, and lets me go, and that is it. That's all that is.
Now, this is interesting because he just had given a speech that night or another time about how you should only be around with people that light up when they see you. And he actually, I hate to be like this, sounds like he didn't feel that in you.
I don't think I lit him up.
Do you think it was because of the nails?
They might not have been to his liking.
I think I'm coming to a judgment.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
God, that scares me.
I guess my last question is, you said you did tag them on Instagram.
Okay, so here's the thing about this.
Sounds like a no to me, Sterling.
Here's the thing, right? And it is a no. However, if I may plead my case here.
Please.
You know when celebs, when they go to big events, they post pictures of them, of their whole fit. And they're like, it takes a village. They always say, like, it takes a village. It takes a team, which is, like, honestly a low-key dig at themselves. They're like, it really takes 27 people to make me look this good. Like, no natural beauty here. But I was never going to post, like, a glam photo and be like, it takes a village. Because the village was me at the preschool and then these kind women at the... So I was never going to post a pic and tag them. Like, I didn't do it. Why would I have, like, been like, here's my nails? And
but you didn't even do an Instagram story.
I want to say, like, yeah, I did that, but I don't know. I don't know if I did. I didn't.
Did you tell at least any of your other friends about this nail salon and try to drive any business there?
Did you even tell Andre?
Oh, I did not tell Mr. DeShields, and I probably should have mentioned it. I will say this, though. They sent me an email, like, receipt, and it had an option to subscribe to their newsletter. And to this day, I am subscribed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But have you ever gone back or no?
No.
Sass, how are you feeling right now?
To really tie it all together, coming from Catholicism, coming from that, you know, being raised Catholic, I am very scared of judgment.
Okay. Well, get ready because you're about to get some.
Oh, boy. Sweating like a sinner in church.
I heard your story with both of my ears because I was listening.
Thank you.
I read a book, and by read, I mean I read the title on the cover and saw a video that gave me some of the details as to what it was about, but it's The Secret. And if it's something you want, you speak it into existence. So you should have gone in there and be like, yes, I am actor. You should have played the part. And when they said, what's the play? You say, it's a good one. It's a good one I'm in. And, you know, you should have really leaned in as an actress, playing an actress who's kind of like a Patti LuPone, who's like, don't address me with your eyeballs.
Right.
You should have leaned in, but you didn't. You just felt very guilty about their assumptions. That's on them.
Oh.
So you should have leaned in and been proud that they saw you in that light that you should have saw yourself in.
Right.
So I'm saying it's bad behavior because you didn't believe in yourself.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's a twist I did not, I did not see coming. Whoa. Yeah. I'll say this. It felt so good to have these random people, like, believe in me. They were like, we believe in you. We think you're going to get the award tonight. Like, they didn't even know who I was. And they were so confident and so kind. And that did feel good. So maybe I really should have been like, you know what? Not tonight, but someday I am going to win an award. You're right. You're so right.
It's hard out there for actors to get a gig. And this was the perfect, dare I say, gig.
You
could have been acting as an actress who was running late to the Tonties.
That really is. To the Tonties. It really is like meta there. Like I could have really kind of done some method.
It's hard for me because in some ways I am toggling between good and bad, I'll be honest. I do like wish in some ways you had maybe stopped some more people at the after party, really like given those nails like a night out on the town, you know? But I think what we're all forgetting about is that Sass was coming from working at a preschool. Okay. Now, this is a difficult job.
I will say that at this preschool, there were a lot of, there were some kids whose parents, grandparents rather, worked in government. In fact, yeah. They maybe ran the country.
Sure.
Okay. Okay.
And I had to deal with their grandchildren. So it was one of the toughest jobs ever.
It was one of the toughest jobs a person could have. And I'm just thinking, wow, what a gorgeous moment to have in one's day that is like, I'm being treated just like a little star. You know, I've been slogging. I've been playing the hag. I've been playing the old man. You know, I'm being just, you know, trampled by, you know, nightmare kids all the time. Just to have an hour where people are celebrating my success, even if it's maybe fake.
My fake success.
What? You know, I mean, you know, can you really fault her? You know, is she supposed to say, oh, you know, it's just me. I'm nobody.
Sterling, I'm going to come back at you with this. I'm going to say in UCB, they always teach us the old yes and.
Oh, well, I did forget about that.
And someone didn't follow the yes and rule.
Wait, but I feel like she was kind of yes. She was just yesing. She wasn't anding, you're saying?
She was agreeing, but she wasn't totally anding, you know?
She wasn't adding to it.
Yeah.
No, that's true.
She was just sitting there trying not to poop herself.
You're so right. And I forgot that that is one of the rules we really abide in most. That's kind of our number one rule for life. And because you and I actually met in an improv class.
Oh, no.
You were afraid to improv and you were trained for this. You were literally trained to improvise.
Oh, my God. So you've actually kind of completely made me circle back.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
So this is actually one of the worst cases we've ever heard. Really bad. Really bad. So I think we're going to have to say bad behavior, Sarah Alice.
Stop. One of the worst cases.
We've had people come on saying they were, you know, having sex with their best friend's ex-boyfriend. What? But this?
Because I didn't yes and. I didn't yes and because I dissed the rules.
Didn't of- yes and. And you know, it's crazy. It's like we spent thousands of dollars to learn to yes and.
That money went down the toilet.
No, I stimulated the economy. come on.
But they went bankrupt and closed for several years. Remember that?
That is not on me.
Hard enough. Sarah Alice, I'm so sorry to do this to you today because you are one of our dearest friends. I'm so sorry. But since you've been deemed bad, we do have a little punishment for you to read aloud today. That's going to be okay. But I know this is emotional.
It's your admission of guilt.
I'll be honest. I really don't know how to feel about this. It's just complicated. Kind of like living in New York. You know what I mean? I think Mayor Eric Adams is one of my all-time favorite politicians. Oh, boy. Wait, I have to say. Okay. I think Mayor Eric Adams, one of my all-time favorite politicians, said it best. New York is a place where every day you wake up, you could experience everything from a plane crashing into our trade center to a person who's celebrating a new business that's open. It's a great quote and honestly summarizes exactly how I feel about this situation.
Wow. What a burden that you got off your shoulders. Just apologize.
Oh my gosh. This is going to be recorded forever on the in the history. You know exactly how to hit me where it hurts.
I actually was like, Blair, this one's going to hit her because we hate Eric Adams.
I can't stand that man. He has to go.
But yet he had this eloquent quote that just summarized how you felt.
I hope he goes soon. This is one of the craziest ones. Like, you can do anything in New York. You could have a terrorist attack or you could open a small business.
Did he really say this?
Yes, he really said.
Did you see the thing he tweeted about, like, New York is the Port-au-Prince of New York's of the United States? And Twitter was literally like, "This is wrong. No one says this." And they like took the tweet down.
As they always say,
like, New York is the Port-au-Prince of the United States. No, they never say that. Simply, no one says that.
Now, Sarah Alice. Please, if you can tell our listeners where to follow, find you, all that jazz, and how they can donate and all that stuff for your upcoming show.
Well, you can all follow me if you would like at sassy_sass112. That is me on Instagram. And if you want to follow the show, Something to Believe In, you can follow that on Instagram at somethingtobelievein_show. You can find the links to other social media there. You can also find a link how to donate to help get us across the pond.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye. Bye.
Do you think that was good?